Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more. Let's Talk Business is brought to you by Yellow.
Today we continue the series Let's Talk Business with the BCCI, and the topic today, reimagining the customer experience in a digital era. My guests today are Marsha Lewis, Managing Partner, Human Capital, LCI Management Solutions, and Allison Brown Ellis, the Chief Executive Officer, Pace Digital, and Chair of the BCCI's Marketing Communications Committee. Well, let's just go basic. When you talk about customer experience, traditionally probably known as customer service, let's talk about what customer service actually means overall, or just a broad-based look at customer service.
Thank you so much, Carol. What I would say is that from my perspective, that when we're talking about the customer experience or customer service, as it would have been traditionally known, we're talking about all the various touch points that the customer would engage with the company. So whether that be a digital touch point, whether that be a physical touch point, we're looking at all the areas in which companies tend to service their customers. And I think, you know, over the years, that has grown tremendously in terms of all the different channels we now have and all the different technology that we have brought to the fore in terms of trying to service our customers.
Marsha, do you want to take that question as well from your personal experience?
Absolutely, Carol. Thank you. And thanks for having us. I think to add to what Allison is saying, you know, you made the distinction, Carol, about customer service and not so much experience, because that's what we were used to calling it. But what we're seeing now, particularly with the digitization happening, is really about the customer experience. And if we were to think of anything that invokes an experience, it is about all of the senses sort of coming to fruition. So it's about what mark in the customer's mind are you leaving them with? What is the sense that they're getting from you, from sight to touch to just the overall engagement with that customer? So I think it's really morphed, and I think what we're talking about today is so topical, because are we ready for that is the question that I think we really need to unpack.
And that's a great question. So I want to start with that one. Mm-hmm. Are we ready to transition, truly transition from the traditional way we talk about customer service into customer experience?
What I would say is that the question is so much whether the, in some instances, the companies have to ask themselves whether they are ready. And then what I would say is that from a customer perspective, just based on our own experience at Pace Digital, we know that some customers are not there yet. And partly because of our cultural norms, because we're really not early adopters within our region, right? So I think one of the key things from the company's perspective is that once you're talking about refining your customer experience, you're really talking about disrupting yourself, disrupting the company, so that you can introduce new enhancements that really come and try to add value to the service experience or the customer service experience. And that in itself is a process. It's not just about, you know, looking at the technologies that are available. You're now refining your entire customer user journey. And sometimes that requires a certain skill set. It requires investment into your business. So sometimes the first question is whether the company is ready for that journey, but then on the flip side is whether when you go through all of those iterations and changes to be able to operate with a digital first mindset, is whether you get the kind of adoption that you need. I would say there's always a lag between, and particularly for this region. So I would stop there and see what Marsha has to add to that.
I want to start off by saying, Allison, you're spot on. And I think that's why Pace is sort of leading the pack here in the work that we've done in our consultancy with organizations, readying themselves for that digitization of the customer experience. Allison spoke to some key things: disruptor, early adopter, skill set, and culture. And the journey for the customer has to be inextricably linked to the readiness of the organization. And that's really, you're right, where we have a bit of a disconnect at times, because one side may be early adopters because you're driving that profit line or revenue line, but are your customers ready for that journey? And when you think about that customer experience and what it is, I think COVID, you know, when we look at COVID, we think about all of the negativity, and there was a lot of that, you know, and thank God we are sort of new normal, as we often say. Mm-hmm. But it did open the door for a lot of opportunities. And my concern as we go back to this new normal is, are we effectively capitalizing on where we sort of had to be, where we couldn't interact face to face? We had to use the digital mechanisms. We had to look at that, what we call omni-channels, which is multiple channels of customer delivery. But it seems as if we're slowly reverting. And why is that? Culture. We are a culture of coming in because I don't trust the internet and I don't trust the technology. And even some of our providers of that service, to Alison's point on the company side, has that sort of, you know, they're not too certain about the technology and we want to come see where our money is going. So that education process needs to be informed by the cultural nuances and norms that we have. And I think we haven't lost on the COVID ride just yet in terms of getting people on the bus, but time is against us. So I'm happy to see BCCI doing this type of work and educating on it's both sides of the equation. We have to first ensure that our skills and competencies from a staff perspective, that our staff are ready to engage customers in that regard. And in tandem with that, we have to bring our customers on the bus. Sadly, sometimes kicking and screaming, Carol.
I like that, Marcia. Carol, if I could just share an example from a Pace Digital experience, from our own experience. I definitely support what Marcia is saying in terms of the benefit or the advantage that the one thing that the pandemic did well for us, I guess, as a world, was really help to advance or to catapult the digital journey for many companies. The problem that we saw on a Pace Digital site was the stickiness. Because we had massive adoption numbers playing during COVID. So whether it was adoption in terms of online bill payments, whether it was the use of our chat box, whether it was the use of e-bill payments. And guess what? From the time the country reopened, we saw that the stickiness was not there and customers started to revert to their normals. They've reverted from the level of convenience that they had. And during that time, they were comfortable to use it, or they at least took the chance and gave it a shot. But now we're seeing those numbers slowly going in the other direction.
Absolutely. And Carol, I promise this would be the last point because I'm sure you have other questions. I think to Alison's point, Alison, it'll be interesting because I know you mine your customer segmentation carefully to understand the demographic of those customers that are reverting. I think we need to remember that as human beings, we're social creatures, right? For some of us, we're so happy to be outside. And if you look at the customer demographic, I remember when my work in financial services, you would find every time pensions were ready, the bank was flooded with pensioners. It was an event. And I'm not speaking ill at all because one day, very soon, I am going to be a pensioner, God's grace, ladies. But it's an event. It's coming out. I was kind of trapped there. So how do we make that stickiness? And we cannot use a broad brush approach. We have to dissect our customer demographics and understand. You have the Gen Zs who are going to be, I don't ever want to see you. I'm doing everything on my mobile phone. But you have, you know, those folks who are, you know, baby boomers, as we refer to them from a demographics perspective, folks like myself at times, who want to go in and say, look, I want to see, I want to interact because it's a social experience. The challenge we face is understanding the demographic and how do you maintain the relational part of that customer experience, even though you're moving it online and to a digital type of forum. I think that is our challenge, and I think it is more pertinent given our culture.
Very well said.
Let's just look at this from a very realistic point of view. Customer experience in a digital age, we are a small island developing state. We have to look at our service providers as well. When you look at bigger countries and you look at service providers and the many options that you have and everybody's trying to compete with everybody else to create something faster and we get more and it's a lot more reliable, how are companies affected by the quality of service and service providers that we have as a small island developing state?
I think that's a very good question, Carol. And what I would say is that many times a lot of the service providers globally, they're operating on a global scale. So you have no end of options in terms of service providers. What you have as a company now to do is to balance that vendor assessment against your budget. And that is where the first layer of challenges comes. Beyond the budget constraints that you may face with kind of working with the companies that have the most savvy solutions, is sometimes it's are they over the top? Sometimes they're just too much for the jurisdiction that we are in. And then that becomes another barrier. One of the other very important assessments as well becomes whether the company is, you know, are you then going to be too small of a fish in the pond for that company that your service quality becomes a challenge? And these are evaluations that I do every single day when they're going through outsourcing or just a vendor selection process. And these collectively become kind of narrow the scale at which the vendors that you can select. So I do think that's a really good question. I think sometimes you then have to look at what's best for the business. So you're literally looking at your user journey and saying, what do I absolutely need to have and what would be a nice to have? And then that guides your process.
Yeah, completely agree. And it sort of comes back to that demographic piece I was, you know, speaking to earlier, Carol, because I do think that because we are, a small island developing nation, it's more incumbent on us to have those conversations with the suppliers. And we have quite a bit of choice. Now it comes back to the macro side of things. In addition to what Alison is speaking about at the company level, what is the macro context to allow for us to have those conversations? What type of legislation is in place that is supporting the construct that suppliers of that size come into our markets to allow us that type of flexibility, to allow us that type of opportunity so that we are not, and pardon me for saying this, settling. Because if I had a dollar for all the times when we are in sessions and because of bandwidth issues, because of, you know, things that are foundational to allow this digitization to take root, to ensure that the quality of the service or product you're providing is not impacted, you know, I'll be very rich. Because it comes down to what type of mechanisms now on the macro level we're putting in place to allow for the type of systems and processes to be in place to propel and to create what we call an enabling environment that allows for digitization. I think when we think of digitization of the customer experience, very often we think it's a technology piece. And I want to say to you from a change management perspective, so much of it is about the infrastructure and critical, the behaviors that we're attempting to push through. And those things will not come to fruition if the infrastructure is not in place. And this is not just the technology, but the macro structure, the legislation in place to invite some of those same people that you were referring to, Carol.
We mentioned culture. We're tropical nations. We're accustomed to the outdoors. You mentioned COVID and the fact that a lot of things that we said could not be done or would not be done, it actually happened. There are places that started delivery services that never did before, companies that really took to that online space more. And as individuals, as a community, as customers, we took to that online space more because we were forced to. The world is opening up again. How do you balance our culture? As in, we like to be outdoors, we like to check on our monies, we like to go and stand and have conversations. How do you help companies balance that now with that online experience?
From where we sit at Pace Digital, I think the level of segmentation that Marcia keeps referencing becomes a big factor, because in some instances we know, so for example, when we migrated to digital statements in our mobile app, we recognized very quickly that we were going to have two segments. The ones that will readily accept, well, actually three, the ones who we're going to literally force to accept, and then the older demographic that we're going to have to accommodate. And because of that kind of thing, where you still have a digital first mindset and moving forward with that, but you literally have to build the structures and the infrastructures in place that allows. And many times, and using again our example, sometimes pricing then becomes a factor that helps the company to navigate that. And you would notice the banks thrust to get persons out of the lines, and therefore their fee structures are set up to accommodate the strategy, the digital strategy that they want. So I think that becomes a factor from a culture perspective. And I think the other big thing, and I think Marcia may have referenced it earlier, is the level of education that we do on a consistent basis. I think any company with a digital first mindset has to have a very strong digital communication strategy. Why are you moving me in this direction? How secure is it when you move me there? How am I expected to interact with you when I have a challenge? Because those are real life scenarios that come up. And then how is it company continuing to assess and gather feedback that allows them to continue to refine? And I think from a cultural perspective, we love to engage, but we also love convenience. So balancing that and balancing the hybrid strategy is what becomes a real challenge for companies. Marcia?
Spot on, Allison. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you talk about preferences. You know, if we think about anything that influences how we behave, you know, I don't think any of us liked just before going back to vacation on summer, getting the orange because you know the center pod was coming, right? Because you needed a, I'm just taking it down to the brass, right? In terms of behaviors. We didn't like that, but we knew there was a benefit to it. At least our parents told us that, right? What are we saying to our customers? And to Ali's point on the demographic, because you have to use different communication mechanisms to ensure you are engaging. But it has to be on the register of this is how this service using this channel is going to be best for you. And you will find individuals for varying reasons saying, I hear you, but I'm not interested. And for that reason, the customization of those strategies, those what we call sensitization and socialization strategies that serves to educate the customer become critical. But you will find, Carol, that there's a percentage, what we call the late adopters or the diehards, who will not get on that proverbial bus. Mm-hmm. And organizations need to, in their strategy for their customer experience and engagement, consider how do you manage those customers? Recognizing, again, demographic, how many of them in that group, what is their contribution to your overall bottom line? What sort of exceptions are you going to make? But by and large, the reason we are no longer on steam engines, it's because we moved on. And it's the companies that are going to win are the companies who take those strategies seriously into account from a customer experience perspective. Culture, we often say, always eats any strategy for lunch. So you have to create that strategy with the culture in mind and be ruthless in your education and your approach to educating your customers. They will come along, but your budget has to be substantial enough to allow for that.
I think the big thing there, Marcia, is the consistency behind the strategy. I think persons, many companies and in small business owners, they get frustrated with the process or and the progress, and therefore they divert. But there really is a lot of value in if the strategy makes sense, just kind of holding and pushing through, and you'll start to see the numbers shift with time. Generally, as a culture, we're just not early adopters. And that is what we have to always remember when we're setting the strategies for digital transformation and for this type of digital kind of growth in terms of the channel mix.
Agreed. And I think we have to look at the areas and sectors where we have been early adopters, because I think there are some sectors that we have been. Can we duplicate that? And something you said just now around the whole education and consistency. So often when we meet with clients, Carol and Allison, they say, well, look, I'm going to give the digital strategy to the CFO, or I'm going to put it as a sidebar to the back of an envelope for the marketing officer. You know, if the organization is not owning this and having somebody who is consistently tasked with pushing this through, to your point, Allison, the strategy would not come to fruition. This is not something that you're doing to the side of your desk. This is something that has to be owned, even if it's for a specific period or a finite period, and driven by the organization. It is a key strategic priority.
Oh, absolutely. And Marcia is definitely going to reinforce that to me every time.
Every last time.
So let me ask this question. How do you then get companies on board as it relates to improving their online and their digital presence? And really bite into these same concepts, to these same ideas? What strategies do some of these companies need? Because you might have bigger companies that are already on board with technology and they know that this is the way forward. Then you have companies that are medium-sized companies, smaller companies, and companies are run by people who are also a part of the culture that we are in. What strategies can you put in place to help them to get their online presence to be really strong and by extension, reach out to their customers and convince their customers through their employees, hey, this is the way to go. This is how we can serve you better.
I would say Marcia's the strategy girl, but I will say this, that it has to start with the leadership, right? The leadership mindset has to be that this is required for future sustainability and growth of the business. This is required for us to meet the needs and the demands of our customers, even though they may not be there yet, because this is a digital era. That's the direction our customers will go, and they will evolve with time, and it's just a matter of when they'll wake up one morning and say, oh, you don't have that, and they will switch. So it is a matter of getting ahead of the curve. And I think that any business, whether small, medium, or large, has to have a leadership that has that frame of mind and is willing and ready not to take on every single channel that is out there, but with some level of customer input. So, you know, whether it's surveying their customers to understand where they are, where how they're being viewed as a business in terms of kind of positioning, and then what are some of the features that their customers would love to see being added, and then kind of just letting that inform the strategy. But I'll pause there and let the strategy guru kind of jump in.
I love the framing of guru. Thank you. One day I shall be. Work in progress. But I think what you've shared, starting with the leadership hearts and minds. But Carol, when we do this, right, we're running businesses. I'm sure you've all looked at the movie Jerry Maguire, right? And you know, there's that line where Cuba Gooding says, show me the money. Mm-hmm. We need to show these businesses where the money is at and the potential of making that money. And I'm saying that for the commercial side of things, but you have at times, you know, governments, which is about, you know, who are about making sure the overall well-being of the citizens are intact. So all through, it may not just be a financial piece, but it's that overall well-being piece. And the approach we use, Carol, is we speak to the bottom line first, because anybody who is a leader of a business from a commercial perspective is looking at, same thing with customers, what is the benefit to be derived? So we paint a scenario that says, here's where you are now. Let me share with you some best practices that are pertinent to not only your sector, because it doesn't make sense showing somebody what's happening in North America with large, large organizations, to your point, Carol, that may not be relevant to the company we're working with or even the culture that we're in. It has to be fit for purpose. So we would share. So for example, what we've seen happening quite frequently is when you do a live stream, and this is based on research, because data and facts always resonate with the individuals that purse strings of organizations. And that's very often the CEO joined to the hip by the CFO. So they're not looking to spend money. They are looking at how best do I manage my operating costs to have greater returns. So when we share with them data that says, you know, for live streams, and this is actual data I'm sharing here, organic traffic in terms of the potential for the individual viewing a live stream. And let me use a recent one. You know, our girl Rihanna just launched her new line in terms of the Fenty line. That was streamed live. And what they showed was a boost in not only the awareness from an education perspective, but the stats are showing that from that live stream, when they looked at when they did not stream it live versus when they did, sales increased by 67%. So if I'm a CFO, I'm saying, all right, let me do the math. And then I'm asking, well, how is this fit for purpose for what I do by just an online stream? And then we share with them the ease of setting up streaming from a cost perspective. So you're looking at the cost of this digitization and the benefits to be derived. And very often, while there is an initial capital cost or operating cost in some instances, when you look at that vis-a-vis the potential for revenue, the math adds up. And I think when you're dealing with organizations and leaders, that's what they want to see. They don't want to see the bells and whistles. They don't want to hear of it anecdotally. They want to see the facts attached. And I think the education piece that Alison spoke to first has to start with that leadership and sharing with them the potential and benefits to be derived and how better you can manage your resources by taking this digital journey. So I do see that as a critical part of the strategy, starting with the benefits and getting, firstly, the leadership on the bus.
Show me the money.
Show me the money.
We're probably down to our final question, because I suspect you'll have to get into this a little bit. So I want to know, we're talking about reimagining customer experience in this digital age. The key words there, customer experience and measuring. You have to be able to measure customer experience. Now, if you are, as companies, looking and trying to get feedback from your customers and you realize, well, customers are not pleased with this particular area or they've suggested this or that, I want to know, how do you also build into all of your strategies, all of your plan, your online experience, all of these things that you want to implement, how do companies build in, if that's the correct phrase to use, that ability to pivot just in case?
That's a great question.
Yeah. I would say to you, Carol and Marcia, that I think the company of the future has to be an agile one. We have to be able to quickly adapt, pivot, change course as needed. And therefore, a lot of our legacy systems, traditionally, they don't allow us to do that. So we referenced outsourcing and vendor selection earlier, and that's one of the key criteria that we should be looking for, to work with partners that allow us to change course as needed. I think the customer feedback that comes through, and you know, from SPACE Digital, we do pulse surveys, but then we have the full survey annually. And those pulse surveys are actually very, very telling because what they say to us is something is off. And that's the whole purpose of doing a pulse survey. So when we realize that something is off, then we have an opportunity to fix it, whether it's halfway, during a quarter or a half year. And many times that means, like, literally sometimes it's just a customer service decision. It could be something as simple as the opening hours, which we did at the end of December. Or it could be something as complex as, you know, a feedback within the customer, the counter or something, and they have a challenge with that. And what that allows us to do is to make management decisions more effectively and more quickly, but we're also being, because we're being driven by the customer, what that does is that it gives you some props because the customer is seeing that you're responding, you're responsive to things that are irritants to them during the process and during the customer experience journey. The one thing you don't want is a customer kind of, or a group of customers griping about something and you never address it, even if it is to address it to say that something cannot be changed at this point. I think that the whole idea of being agile has to come to fore. We as executives, we have to be able to respond. And sometimes it depends on the structure of the organization. Thankfully, PACE Digital is a very responsive company, and therefore we can adapt very quickly because our focus is always on the customer and ensuring that we are delivering the best possible service, even though we have adopted very, very strongly as part of our strategy, a hybrid approach to managing our channel. So we're very focused on how it looks, feels, how we engage on the in the face-to-face, so the physical front, but equally on the digital front, we've been adding chatbots, we've been adding all sorts of other features within the mobile app that allow us to engage digitally with our customers and gather that feedback, but not just gather it, but to respond to it.
Marcia, final word with you.
I think that we have no option, Carol, and to add to everything that Ali has said, we have to pivot forward. There's no backup plan other than to go forward. And sometimes that means failing forward, and we have to have the rigor and stick-to-itiveness to do that. I think the backup plan has to be a robust adoption strategy because, as I said, we have to move it forward. And I want to leave it with three things to ensure that. When we talk about responsiveness, we could only be responsiveness if, as organizations, we achieve a deeper understanding of our customers. And what does that mean? What are the customers' behaviors? What are their preferences on all touch points, face-to-face, on social media? What are the segments so that we know we are reaching them where they are? Another key piece that I think PACE does brilliantly is drive loyalty and retention. How do we do that? I mean, we all know the genesis of PACE and that loyalty to brand. How do we create that awareness? And then lastly, to the point that Alison made, maintain a competitive edge. The way we do that is ensure that we know our customers with a level of intimacy that we know what they want before they even know. How do we plant that seed of inception to say, we are your brand for life? So I leave you with the backup plan has to be the pivot plan to pivot forward. That is our only option.
Our conversation today, reimagining the customer experience in a digital era. My guests, Marcia Lewis, Managing Partner, Human Capital, LCI Management Solutions, and Allison Brown Ellis, the Chief Executive Officer, Pace Digital, and Chair of the BCCI's Marketing Communications Committee.
That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.